Okay, can you all hear me?
You hear me?
Right, okay. Right, I've been listening to all those remarks, and right, I agree with all of them, right? And I'd just like to add this, right, that God is no man's debtor. He's no man's debtor, is he? He's no man's debtor. He'll provide, and he always provides. Right, I want to encourage you this morning, if I can. You'll have to excuse me because I've got a bit of a croaky throat. I've got a bit of a cough. I haven't been able to get rid of it, so you'll just have to bear with me. I'd like you to turn, if you've got Bibles with you, to the book of Hebrews. No, okay, put it there. Thanks, David. Yeah, the book of Hebrews and chapter 12. And the first two verses, if you like, the first two verses in Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm going to read right from my Amplified version, and I'm just going to read the two verses, right? Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a... Oh, it's okay, sorry. Yeah, carry on. I'll wait for you. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Oh. Okay, everybody got it? Right, okay. Right, I'm going to read from the Amplified version because I like that version, so you might have a different version, but I like the Amplified version. It says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and the sin which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us. And let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us, looking away from all that would distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief and is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God." So perhaps you've guessed what I want to speak about this morning. I want to speak about a race. And if we know Jesus, if we are Christians, we are in a race. In the scriptures, right, there's different analogies, right? The scriptures speak about, right, we're in a warfare, we're right in a wrestling match, but here in Hebrews it speaks about that we are in a race. Now, I know something about racing. I'm 73, so I'm going back about 23 years. I'd done quite a bit of running. I'd done a lot of 10Ks. I'd done a lot of running for charity, for fund races. So I'd done a lot of running. So I know what it's like to run. I know what it's like to be in a race. And the book of Hebrews, right, up to chapter 10 and verses 19 describes, right, the superiority of Jesus Christ and of the new covenant. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, describes the church's responsibility in the light of the superiority of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is superior to all that has gone before. He's superior, right, to angels, to Moses, to all the Old Testament system, the Levitical system. He's superior to that. He's above it all. And in chapter 11, faithful people from Jewish history are held up as examples of patient perseverance as they awaited the promises of God. And in chapter 12 of Hebrews contains clues regarding the city of this letter was written. Not to drift away. Thus, you'll find that verse in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. But in this chapter, we perceive a community weary of persecution, struggling to stay strong in an increasingly hostile environment, but weakening perhaps to the point of giving up and turning away from their faith. I wonder how you like that this morning. Perhaps you started a race and you want to give up. All that has been addressed so far comes to focus as these weary believers are encouraged to look not around them, but at Jesus, their ultimate example of faithfulness and endurance in the face of hatred and humiliation. These believers, right, they were going through persecution. They had their houses taken off them. We're talking about many years, right? Perhaps they didn't have no money in this situation. They were going through persecution. They were being, right, persecuted by Judaizers who said, right, that it was not just Jesus who was superior, right, that it was something that had to be added, right, that they had to go back to the law, to the Levitical system. It was Jesus and the law. And the writer to this letter says, no, it's Jesus and Jesus only. And right, we've got in the scriptures a verse that says this in Ephesians, by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. There's nothing, right, added. It's not Jesus plus something. It's Jesus only. Right. Where am I by you? Oh, right, I've got it. Okay. All that has been addressed so far comes to focus as these weary believers are encouraged to look not around them, but at Jesus, their ultimate example of faithfulness and endurance in the face of hatred and humiliation. Not only is Jesus Christ superior to all that the Jews had previously known, but he also had suffered just as they were presently suffering. In fact, Jesus had suffered even more deeply. Yet Christ is now enthroned in heaven, and the believers can trust that this will be their future as well. These believers were also encouraged to look upon their suffering as though it were the discipline of a loving Father, not for wrong actions, but for helping them to mature spiritually. God alone can take unbelievers' hostility and turn it into an avenue of blessing and growth for his children. It would be important for us as believers to carry that perspective into the coming days. And we read, right, the first verse that I read, therefore we are also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. After hearing the roll call of faithful believers throughout the centuries, illustrating true faith in chapter 11, these believers are challenged to also persevere in their faith. These faithful people from the past now stand as so great a cloud of witnesses. The writer of Hebrews uses the athletic imagery of a Greek amphitheater that has rows and rows of spectators, a great cloud or a large group. They do not witness as if they were merely spectators looking down from heaven, watching believers' lives. Instead, they witness through the historical record of their faithfulness that constantly encourages those who follow them. So therefore, they encourage us through the scriptures, through the recorded word. We do not struggle alone, and we are not the first to struggle with problems, persecution, discouragement, even failure. Others have run the race and crossed the finish line, and their witness stirs us to run and win the prize. What an inspiring heritage we have, these great believers' lives, examples, and faithfulness in God. Without seeing his promises, speak to all believers of the rewards of staying in the race. This metaphor that we have right in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, is a metaphor of a foot race with endurance, describes a marathon, a test of stamina and commitment. This provides an apt description of the lives of these suffering believers, and it's an apt description, right, of our lives today and of the race we run. And I'd like you this morning, right, just to, with me this morning, to consider, right, three aspects of this race. Three aspects to this race are set before all believers in these two verses. And the first aspect is this. If you want to run this race, if you started and you want to run the race, you've got to, and I'm going to put the three aspects, the three P's. And the first one is this, preparation. You've got to prepare to run this race. You can't run the Christian life unless you prepare. Unless you prepare. When I was running, right, I had to put the miles in. I had to put the miles in. To run a 10K race, I was perhaps out training 2 days a week. I had to put the miles in to get my legs right. That's preparation. That's preparation for the race. The first step of preparation to run the race requires that each racer lay aside every weight. This had two meanings for the racers of the ancient world. Clothes that hold back. And races, right, at that time, and I think more likely Paul witnessed this, races were often run naked. They didn't have any clothes. They run them naked, right? They run the races naked. The weight, right? The fat, the superfluous weight that would keep an athlete from running efficiently. And right, these Christians, right? They were being weighed down. They've been weighed down with, right? There were certain people, right? Right, who came along, right, into their congregation, right? And, right, they wanted to put, as I've said, the weight of the Levitical law on them, right? You must keep this. You must do this. You must keep the law. And this writer to the Hebrew says, no, none of that. It's Jesus and Jesus only. Christians must be spiritually trim, able to run the race uncumbered. And if you want a verse for that, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25, it tells you that right about that, about running the race uncumbered, without weights. Many weights may not be necessarily sinful acts, but could be things that hold us back, such as the use of time, some forms of entertainment, or certain relationships. Choose friends who are also committed to the race. Wrong friends will have values and activities that may deter you from the course. Much of your weight may result from the crowd that you run with. The second step of preparation requires believers to avoid the sin which so easily besets them. Classical Greek runners would race, as I've said. They wouldn't have no clothes. They'd be running naked, so that the garment would not impede or slow them down. Spiritually speaking, Christians should put away any sin that might entangle, impede, or trip them up. Sins such as greed, pride, arrogance, lust, gossip, dishonesty. And if you have a secret weight, right, a secret sin, you don't know, right, nobody else knows about it. You might have a secret weight, a secret sin, such as pornography, gambling, alcohol, drug addiction. That might be your sin that's pulling you back and you're not making progress in the race. Admit your need. Get help. These can cause believers to drift off spiritual course, impede you in the race. So that's the first aspect, preparation. The second aspect is this, participation. After Christians prepare, after they become right, initiated, born again, receive Jesus, you've got to participate in the race. You've got to participate. You can't be a spectator. There are a lot of spectators today. A lot of spectators. I'm not a spectator. I want to run. I want to run this race. I want to finish the course. After Christians prepare, they must participate in the race. They must run. Hebrews gives examples of what it means to run, having faith, visiting prisoners. I think Fraser visited prisoners in jail, haven't you, Fraser? Entertaining strangers. Believing God. Trusting God. We've been speaking this morning, right, about trusting God for finances for this place. That's right, participating in the race. We trust God. We'll trust Jesus for the finances, for this place, for that place, for Tabor. We'll trust God. Believe in God, trusting God, worshiping God. We've been worshiping God this morning. Knowing Jesus, having courage, praying, encouraging others, and confessing sin. And these can all be summarized as loving God and loving others. We love God. We're a fellowship. We're a family. We love God, but we love others. I love you because you're my brother and sister. And, you know, that should be the same for every one of us. We love the fellowship. We love the fellowship of the saints. We love the ones that come here that we fellowship with. And we love others as well who are not of this fellowship. The third aspect is this, perseverance. If you run a 10K race, if you run a marathon, you need perseverance. You might think when you're in the race, well, I'm not going to finish the race. So then you need perseverance. You need to dig in to finish the race. The race that we run is not our own. We did not select the course. It is God who marks it out before us. We should be running for Christ, not ourselves, and we must always keep him in sight. The race that is set before us refers to the trials Christians will experience, as outlined in Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 4 to 11. Finally, Christians persevere, running with endurance the race that is set before them. The writer of the Hebrews has often referred to having endurance, being diligent and persevering. And you'll find these verses in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 11 and Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 34 to 36. The Christian life involves opposition and suffering, requiring believers to give up whatever endangers their relationship with God and with Jesus, to run patiently and to struggle against sin with the power and the help of the Holy Spirit. To live effectively, believers must keep their eyes on Jesus. We will stumble if we look away from him to stare at ourselves, at our circumstances, and at our surroundings. We've got to keep our eyes on him when we run this race. There's no other way. Keep our eyes on Jesus. Because you know why? Because he's run the race. He's finished the course. He's the one right that can bring us through because he is the perfecter. He is the forerunner. He's already run the race and he's passed the finishing line. And he wants us to run the race. There might be tons of right difficulties and problems. But I want to encourage you this morning to keep on running the race. To live effectively, believers must keep their eyes on Jesus. We will stumble if we look away from him to stare at ourselves or at the circumstances surrounding us. Running a race requires, like I've said, the three P's, right? Preparation, participation, and perseverance. Christians prepare to run the race through daily training. We pray, read the scriptures. That's the written word of God. And examine our life for habits that would impede us in the race. We participate in fellowship, in worship. And we persevere by maintaining a Christ-like and God-honoring attitude, even when trials are strong and we feel weak. You know, there's the verse in Scripture that says this, right? When I'm weak, then I'm strong. So I hope this morning, right now, right, that I've encouraged you to run the race. I've been on this race for 50 years. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to go on with Jesus. You going to go on with Jesus? Or are you going to give up? You've got to answer that question in your own hearts, whether you're going to give up. Yeah, it's going to be a struggle. It's going to be a fight. It's a battle. Just pray this morning that what I've said might be a blessing to you and help you as you run the race. And if you want any help, please come out afterward. I'd be willing to pray with you. Leaders Phil and Stuart, be willing to pray with you if you are struggling in the race. Amen.